May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be to your glory. Amen. Well, we just heard the words of the Magnificat read aloud. This is Mary's surefire testimony of who Jesus is, what Jesus will do, and what it means for generations upon generations. It's a gospel so powerful that it has been outlawed by some governments to be no longer allowed to be read out loud in public settings for fear of its radical, revolutionary message. And we just read it out loud. Not only did we just read it out loud, but we sang it. We read it and we sang it. And not only did we sing it today, but we sang it on the first Sunday of Advent as a meditation, as a tone to set for this season of preparation. And not only did we read it out loud and sing it in unison, but we lived it. Just this week, St. Cross has embodied this radical love by feeding the hungry at Neighbor to Neighbor and Laundry Love and St. Luke's, by lifting up the lowly when we offer them free clothes and free clean clothes and a hot shower and a listening ear. We have done these things that Mary proclaimed Christ would do. Who knew St. Cross was so radical? Since we have lived it, I'm not going to preach on that part of the gospel reading. Instead, I'm going to preach today on Elizabeth. How can I not preach on Elizabeth? We named our daughter after her. My wife and I were so inspired by Elizabeth because Elizabeth is kind of a badass. Shouldn't say that. Bless you. How can I say that more preacher-like? Elizabeth is a faithful, courageous, strong-willed, righteous woman who is attuned to the movements of the Spirit and can speak and name God's power among us. That's a more preacher way to say it, isn't it? You gotta use all, it's so much simpler to just say, Elizabeth is, but you can't say that. That's why sermons are so long. You gotta use all those other words. So today I'm gonna talk about Elizabeth and how Elizabeth might be an example for us of how it looks when we have done the preparation and we are ready to receive Christ on Christmas. All of Advent, we have been told to straighten up and fly right. We've been told to repent, to turn around, to make the path straight, to burn the chaff and cut the wood. But what does it look like to be doing what we should be doing? We know what we shouldn't be doing. We know that we need to turn away, but what does it look like when we're behaving and acting in the way that we are when we're ready to receive Christ? I believe Elizabeth is the example of that, and she models for us what it might look like to prepare and receive Christ in our life. First, we see that Elizabeth is steeped in the ancient traditions. And she is also present in the moment. So Elizabeth is a descendant of Aaron, named after Aaron's wife. She is of the lineage of high priests, and she is married to a high priest who, by luck or the movement of the Spirit, has drawn the lot to be the high priest and go into the Holy of Holies this year to receive this special message. So she is well accustomed to the rhythms of religious ritual and the ancient scriptures. And this is revealed to us by the words that she speaks, both her and Mary. When they have this dialogue with each other, there are countless references to Old Testament, to what they knew as Scripture. And they are using these key phrases and words to place themselves in this tradition of women who have born salvation for God's people. They know what they're doing because they know the Scripture. And because they know the Scripture, they can see the Spirit at work in their very lives. There's too many references in this dialogue to point them all out, but if you ask Santa for a really good study Bible, you can look up all the cross references, but for now, just trust me. Not only is Elizabeth listening to the prophets through the Scriptures, but Elizabeth is listening to her body. It's that pregnant woman's intuition. Is it just another baby's kick? Maybe it's just gas. We don't know. But Elizabeth knows. She knows the difference between those and this full, double-footed leap of joy that John gives in her womb. And because she knows the Scripture, and because she knows herself and her body, and she's paying attention to those things, she knows that this is just not another kick, but she knows this is John, who is prophesied to be the one to point to the Messiah, is already at work in the womb, pointing out that the other baby in womb, in Mary, is the one that he's supposed to point the way for. He's already at work, and Elizabeth knows this, because she knows herself and her body and her surroundings. The second trait that I notice about Elizabeth is that she receives Mary with grace. She holds no judgment or contempt or resentment for Mary, but she trusts that God is at work with her. Why would she be resentful of Mary? Couldn't you see how easily it would be to fall into that temptation? Here is Elizabeth, who is an old woman of that priestly lineage, and she has desired to give birth to a child for so long, and finally, through a prophetic miracle, she is pregnant with a baby. And now here is her younger cousin who comes to her, who's not married, she's a virgin. What? Maybe I'm the only one with resentment issues. That's fine. It's fine. Confession is good. I think it would be easy to theologize about that as well, to say all of the women who have had this role of giving birth to an act of salvation have been barren women. When we think of Rachel and Hannah and Sarah, all of these people, it's not the young, the virgin. I'm the one who has the special miracle. It would be so easy to do that, and it's so easy for each of us to do that when we have good news come to us. But that's not what Elizabeth does, because she trusts God and trusts others. And when she receives with trust, she is able to see God at work in Mary and see the goodness that Mary is bringing to her. And lastly, Elizabeth has this characteristic of speaking aloud a truth that everybody knows, but no one says. When Mary comes to Elizabeth, Elizabeth affirms Mary for what she already knows. And when she speaks these words to Mary, it's actually the first words a human speaks to another human in this gospel. Elizabeth speaking to Mary. Conversations between women in the Bible are very rare, and Luke opens his gospel this way. There has been one-on-one messages between angels and humans, but the first dialogue between two people is what we read today. Zechariah had been shut up by the Spirit for his incredulousness. And Mary receives this message faithfully and says, "Let it be," and then ponders all of these things. And when she comes to Elizabeth, Elizabeth says fearlessly, out loud, "You are the mother of my Lord. The baby that is in your womb is the Messiah." And when she names this for Mary, it is an incredible gift. It is indeed a blessing that she can recognize and name in Mary what God is doing in and through her. It's a blessing because it has a liberating effect on Mary. And Mary, who has faithfully pondered all these things, faithfully traveled from Nazareth to the Judean hillside, which maybe some of our pilgrims know is about an 80-mile walk. Not easy anytime, but not when you're pregnant either. Mary has taken this journey faithfully, but has been in silence. And it takes Elizabeth naming this gift that then unleashes Mary to say out loud what she knows. What she knows from her own body, what she knows from her angel that had visited her, what she knows from the scriptures that she studies and knows so well. Mary then unleashes this truth that has been given to her, that the baby that she will have will redefine the world. The baby that she will born, that she will give birth to, will make everything different. The whole world will be changed because of this. This is the power of Elizabeth. This is why I say she's kind of a strong-willed, courageous woman who speaks truth. This is why I liked in our pageant that Catherine Fredericks portrayed Elizabeth and then had a double role and became the Red King. I thought that's the perfect transition for what we should see as Elizabeth. Because it's so easy to discount her as just some handmaiden or midwife that Mary goes to. That she's some kind of prologue or foreshadowing. But here I believe that Elizabeth is the one who does this initial work to set things in motion by speaking out loud what is happening. So with Christmas 3 days away, as we prepare to receive Christ again, born anew, I encourage us all to follow Elizabeth's example, to be present and aware and attuned to the traditions that we share, to receive others with grace, to withhold judgment and extend trust, trust in one another and trust in God, that God can work in the person who comes to you, that when we do those things, we might see others and name the gifts that they have. It's an incredible blessing to give someone else, to name the gifts of the Spirit in them. So often, it's hard for us to see for ourselves how the Spirit is at work in our lives. So maybe that can be the Christmas gift that you give to someone each day, to name how God is at work in them, to name how their talents and passion and labors are a light of God's love in your life. And when you are able to be present and to receive and discern how Christ shows up in others, you will find that Christ is born anew in your life every day. And then every day can be just like Christmas. And what a wonderful world that will be. Amen.